Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you're in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you'll definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org. Again, propertymanagementsystem.org. And to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code Brad, B-R-A-D. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. So in this episode, this is part two of the Dave Borden visit, and we'll be talking about some of the things with his free marketing estimates, the products that they provide with their website, the rent screener, and actually they give you a discount code so you can actually go into their products and start to purchase them. Mention this podcast and they'll give you a 10% discount. So I want you to listen through this podcast and listen to hear what Dave has to say about some of the products. And I think they're highly recommended for any management company out there to take a look at. And Dave, welcome back to the Property Management Mastermind Show for episode two. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. Did you have an okay night?
I did. I was up at Casa Larson and I was treated like a king.
So. Good. It's been a great time having you here. So let's get into episode two, kind of some of the things we want to talk about.
Okay.
And as we were kind of writing the spine of this morning, we wanted to go over a few things. And let's kick it off right now. So we've had a long discussion, you and I, about domains and setting up the correct domain stuff. Because it's not just as simple as what one would think.
Exactly.
So let's expand on that for the audience to kind of catch them up to this conversation.
Okay. When most people buy a domain, they don't really take into account some things that are important.
Because most people are buying,
They're buying like their business name, like you did, Larson Properties.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So luckily you're doing extremely well on search because you've done all the other stuff that you need to. But if you're just entering into a market or starting a new business, or maybe you're struggling on your existing domain, there are a few factors that you can consider that will help you. Okay. First of which is an exact match domain, it's called. Okay. And we're fortunate in property management that there's really only a few search terms, you know, whatever city you're in, property management companies in your city, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's really only seven or eight different variations that really matter. So if you want to your domain to be a part of that, to be maximized for that, then, you know, all things being equal, you want to have one of those, the most popular search terms in your domain. For example, you know, I'm from Colorado, so we use Denver. If you could buy denverpropertymanagement.com, that would be great. Odds are it's probably not available. Someone's probably already purchased that. But we have had some customers in the past that were maybe kind of struggling at the top of page two or the bottom of page one. And we would buy an exact match domain, even if it's not a .com. For example, we bought seattleproperty.management for one of our customers, and they went from the middle of page two to number one in a couple weeks.
Because the key terms were in the URL.
That's correct. So part of Google's search algorithm, and it's a diminishing part, but it's still a big part, is that exact match component. And like I said, property management, we're fairly lucky there that there's only a few terms that really matter. So if you can get in almost every market across the country, it's going to be consistent that you're going to want to have your market plus property management. So if you could buy denverproperty.management or even denverpropertymanagement.us or .net or .info or whatever, then that's going to give you the exact match component of the search algorithm. Most people don't really consider that. Like I said, you bought Larson Properties because that was the name of your business. And that's the typical default strategy that most people have.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to caution some people that for some people out there, if you're struggling, you're not on page one, then go make a purchase like that. But if you're already locked in like Brad is, or if you're already doing extremely well with your existing URL, there are some risks involved in doing that. Okay. Like we mentioned yesterday, you have relevance, domain authority, and usage data. So when you convert your URL, you're going to want to make sure that you transfer any domain authority that you've built up on your existing domain through a 301 redirect. You got to make sure that whoever your web provider is does that appropriately, because if you don't do that correctly, you can lose some of that domain authority, which may end up costing you more than it helps you.
Or even be sandboxed.
Well, you're not going to really get sandboxed for doing a redirect.
Okay.
If you're trying for
folks out there, sandboxing is where Google says you need to go to timeout.
Or Google says you're doing something we don't like.
Yeah.
And we're going to exclude you from search results until we feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do again. And you never, ever, ever want to risk being in that category, because that basically shuts off your supply. But doing it, so taking a domain and having an exact match search term in there is fine. But like I said, if you're already dominating or doing well enough in your market that you're meeting your growth goals, then I wouldn't really mess with it.
Okay.
Leave what you have going alone. And now a lot of people are going to ask me, well, okay, should I buy 17 other different exact match domains and redirect it into my domain? And the answer to that is no.
I've had that same thought process in UV Slick. And
yeah. And here's the deal when you're talking about doing a redirect on a domain. There's really only two reasons to do it. Number one is that it has some domain authority. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you ever go and buy out a competitor, mm-hmm. or if there's somebody that has had a property management type business running on a URL and you redirect it to your URL, then you can capture all that domain authority and it will boost you for that part of the algorithm. And also the other reason to do it would be if you have like a vanity domain, which makes it a lot easier to remember. So instead of having sanantoniopropertymanagement.info and putting that on your business cards and everything, maybe you put like sapm.com or satxpm.com in your case, which is a much easier domain to remember. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to advertise, but it serves the exact purpose.
It's safe to do a redirect.
Absolutely.
That.
Okay. It's absolutely safe to do that now, but I also want people to remember that people always ask me, well, what if I buy
that's one time,
10 other different times. Domains, right? Remember, your website can only live on one domain. It can't live on sanantoniopropertymanagement.info. It can't live on sanantoniopropertymanagementcompany.com, which are two exact match domains, but your site can only live on one. So if you go out and buy a brand new domain that's an exact match domain and redirect it to your existing domain, it doesn't do you any good. All it does is cost you $10 a year.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, maybe you want to prevent your competitor from buying it or something like that. And maybe that's worth $10 a year to you. But ultimately, it's really not going to help your website at all. Again, two criteria if you're going to redirect in another URL. Number one, does it have any domain authority on it? And if it does, go ahead and redirect it, because you will, as long as it's property management domain authority. Mm-hmm. If it was a rodeo website, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good to redirect that in. I mean, it will for a few months, but it'll fade out. If it was a property management company, you're going to basically capture all that domain authority by redirecting that URL into yours.
Sorry to cut you off. I love the side story you told me yesterday about the Austin property management guy.
That's correct.
You got to tell that story to kind of.
Okay. So here's really now as of a few weeks ago, I have some customers in Austin, and that's kind of another thing that's not domain related.
Okay.
If your company is named an exact match term, you have a huge advantage. For example, I was just kind of monitoring how my customers in Austin were doing, and I did a search and I was in Colorado. So I realize you're going to get different results when you're in market versus out of market. Yeah, and one of the biggest, probably the single biggest factor now for Google is location.
Yeah.
If you're at the Starbucks across the street from a property management company and you type that term in, there's a much higher likelihood that you're going to get the company across the street, even if they're not necessarily as optimized as the guy 10 miles away. Mm-hmm. So I did a search for Austin Property Management from Colorado and got a company named Austin Property Management out of Oregon. So you can imagine if your company was named Austin Property Management in Austin, Texas, you've got a really good shot of getting some more relevance there. Mm-hmm. So, and that's going to be on your Google business page. So, I guess the recommendation there is if you can, name your company that. Yeah. Obviously, again, the same thing applies to the domain though. If you have a well-established business that's been there for a long time, you don't want to change your name.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it goes back to growth goals. But if you're brand new and you haven't started yet, take advantage of everything that you can. Get an exact match domain. Call your company a search term. I mean, there was a blog article a while ago that somebody in Paris named their hotel Paris, France Hotel. That was its name. And so then when you search it, it has a higher likelihood of coming up. So that's another factor to consider.
I like that part. And one of the things we've talked about too is diluting yourself, because there are some schools of thought that say to go ahead and open up different market centers around the same market you're in to catch that particular name. So for example, there's a city in Bernie, which is near San Antonio. And so if you set up the Bernie property management, a great example is, you know, there's a company out of Houston that has done that to where they've set up 5 or 6 different market centers around them. It could be worthwhile, but it also could dilute their branding. Kind of talk about some of that.
Okay. You know, it's that's always a tough question. If you're in the same market, kind of like an MSA, like San Antonio or something, I would really recommend keeping your experience to at least one URL. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can establish a physical presence in different parts of town, it will help you from a search perspective. Like I said, location is a big factor. If you and you can set up a Google business page for each of your locations. Okay. Now, don't try to trick them, because again, you're going to end up sandboxed. Yeah, they'll if you're putting up a PO box as your address at a UPS store, Google's pretty smart at figuring out that that's not really a business address. And then if they don't penalize you for it, they're certainly not going to give you any credit for it.
Sure.
So if you actually have operations in a physical address, set up another Google business page, because that will give you that location part of the algorithm. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't really recommend doing that unless it has a relevant business purpose. I wouldn't go incur the overhead of opening up an office simply to get a little better search engine ranking for a certain part of town, unless it also contributes to your business. Like it gets you closer to, if you have a huge group of properties at a faraway part of town, then that's certainly worth it to, you know, if it economically makes sense to do it from a business perspective, then it will help you from a search perspective.
I would agree.
But I don't recommend doing it for the search part of it, mm-hmm, if you don't also have an accompanying, you know, business goal.
Yeah, with real it. Need.
Right.
So your marketing staff or your property management team out in that location can actually use that location.
Yeah, but if you have 200 or 300 homes there that are within a close proximity of that office, mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because you can save a lot of money. You know, a lot of times property managers lose money when they hop in the car because they got to fight traffic to do showings and they have to do inspections and that kind of stuff. Those are the kind of things that you need to keep to a minimum if you want to stay really profitable.
We've made some of that effort here. So for example, I always call it windshield time, and that's not a term I coined by any means, but our portfolio managers were doing 2 walkthroughs prior to kind of one of our efforts to eliminate some of that stuff. And they were doing a walkthrough when a tenant vacates, you know, common sense stuff, make ready would be done, pictures would be done. Then they'd do a walkthrough at the end prior to a tenant moving in.
Okay.
Well, the walkthrough at the end is literally a minute,
right?
2 minutes. They'd walk in, everything looks good. Okay. It's clean. Smells good. Okay, good. It's ready for the tenant to move in. So we've eliminated the high dollar portfolio managers from having to drive to do a final walkthrough at the end when the tenant's going to move in the next day or two. Hmm. So we outsource that. We'll insource it sort of to our maintenance team. So the maintenance team on a lower dollar employee team member will go and do the quick walkthrough, grab the sign as needed.
Yep.
And it eliminates the portfolio managers, the single owner point of contact, the people that they're actually talking to the owners and doing the high level stuff. Eliminates from them having to drive 30 minutes across town, a 1 minute walkthrough, pull a sign and drive back to the office to continue.
That's
working.
An hour, hour of time for 1 minute of.
And that's illustrating that point we just talked about. And this is, it's kind of switching gears on what, you know, you're focusing on is more the marketing, the website presence.
Right.
And, you know, some of the things that we wrote down to talk about was content.
Yep.
And that's the next on the list.
Okay, perfect.
We can talk about that.
You know, we have a certain philosophy that we've brought to the industry that works. And we know it works because our customers do extremely well. You take pretty much any market across the US and our customers are on the front page. Mm-hmm. You know, go to Atlanta, we're 10 for 10. Go to San Antonio, we're 6 out of 10. Denver, we're 5 out of 10. So our methodology works, mm-hmm, but people ask specific questions on how much and what kind of content they need to put out on, like, specifically their property management landing pages. And that's what I want to address right now. And, you know, if you put a thin piece of content on your management page, there's two negative factors there. Number one, Google doesn't like it. But more importantly, someone looking at the page doesn't necessarily like it. You know what? There's a lot of people that are going to look at the page and not read everything.
And you're talking thin. What do you mean by thin?
Thin means not very much content.
Okay.
So here we are. We do property management in San Antonio. Call us for a quote.
Call us for a quote.
Okay. Yeah.
That's pretty thin.
And you know, there's actually a number out there. If you, you know, our research shows us that landing pages that actually appear in, you know, and this is, again, all factors being equal. I mean, some people do a good job on building the page. Some people don't. But if all factors being equal, the magic number is kind of 2,500 words. Okay. So if you don't, I mean, if you have less than that, then you're not going to do as well at competing to appear in a search result. And ideally
that's on the entire site or that?
No, just on that particular page. Okay. I'm talking about your property management page. I mean, it's possible for you to get two results on the front page. You can get both your home page and your property management landing page to appear on the front page of a search result, because Google's determined that maybe those are two of the most 10 relevant pages according to their algorithm, and we're going to show both of them because they have great usage data. They have great content.
2,500 words is almost two solid pages.
It's a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
So people ask, what do I do on there? What do you do when you present to an owner about asking them to hire you?
Sure.
And we did the PM Grow Summit and Marcus, that he talked about your pricing. Mm-hmm. Property managers are worried to put pricing on there. Why? I mean, you have your pricing on your site, right?
Correct.
You're generating 100 leads a month. Obviously, it's not deterring anyone from calling you. And if it is, thank you. Because now your staff doesn't have to deal with someone who already knows what you charge and is not okay with it. Mm-hmm. So if you eliminate that information from your website, then number one, you're reducing the amount of content that you have. And number two, you're increasing the amount of time and explanation that you have to do when a prospect calls. If somebody knows your platinum plan costs $250 a month or whatever it is, they don't have to call and ask that. Right. They're well aware of it. And not only that, but you can put everything that's included in the platinum plan on there, which again, increases your content load on that page.
That ties in perfectly because we talked about this before the show. What kind of content to produce? Well, I think becoming a full disclosure company on your site is a very good technique to go to. And we talked about the pricing, and we do a three-tier pricing model.
Right.
And there's some fun stuff we can talk about there because I'm a big believer in the flat fee three-tiered pricing model.
Sure.
So some people may have come up with a pricing model where it's percentage-based.
Sure.
That's the old standard. You know, we see that a lot, percentage-based pricing models, which is fine. It adjusts nicely with the inflation of the market or the appreciation of the market. So if your costs are going up, your revenue is going up at the same time because of a percentage base. So there is some merit to that. However, what we've seen in a three-tiered flat fee pricing model, the alternative is a three-tiered percentage based model.
Sure.
It reverses itself.
Okay.
So let me explain that. So what happens is that let's say you have X plus two, X plus four for a percentage based three-tiered pricing model.
Sure.
Or even a two-tiered pricing model. You can do, people have done that before, or a six-tiered pricing model. The point is, what happens is the more you price something, the more goodies you're putting in.
Sure.
Because you want it to add more value, correct?
Yep.
So the lower end home, who you may not necessarily really want to deal with, will go for the higher percentage plan because the goodies
it's a lower price
thrown in.
Yep.
Right. But they're still not paying for that because it's a percentage based. And so on the reverse of that, the higher end plan at, let's say, X plus four something, you know, if you're going zero, two, and four, the higher end plan then attracts the lower end client. And the vice versa of that.
Right.
The higher end client
is going to pay the lower percentage.
Correct. The higher end client goes towards the lower percentage.
Right.
Because they don't feel they need all the goodies and lickies and chewies that are in the bigger plan.
Well, and I'm not going to extol the virtues of either plan. However, you just created a large piece of content explaining that to me.
Yes.
So in other words, if I'm looking at 2,500 and if you can do it eloquently, make it 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 words. Like I said, a certain percentage of people that visit your page are not going to read anything.
Right.
And a certain percentage of them are going to read absolutely everything.
Now, to get that content, they could do a video.
Yeah.
Never have to write a thing down.
Exactly.
And then hire somebody to transcribe that.
They could record a listing presentation that they give to a client. You know, like we talk about video lifting all boats on content or on usage data, relevance, domain authority. Well, I mean, I don't know if people want to put like their management agreement on the page. We have customers that do that.
We do
that. And if their competitor wants to, your competitors want to come in and copy your management agreement and use it, fine. Good for them. That's, you know, whatever. However, there's a ton of content. There's 3, 4, 5,000 words worth of content. And then you have, you know, you just talk about all the things that you do as a property. Talk about all of the things that you do. Mm-hmm. We have customers that have 500 words on there.
Yeah.
And they get mad because they're not ranking. And okay.
They're treating it like an online business card versus.
Unfortunately, I don't own Google, but if, you know, Google has criteria that I don't control. All I can do is try to figure out what their criteria is. And by being in tune with that, we can help our customers because we know that. And if I tell you to build 5,000 words and you build 500, you've done 10% of my assignment. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a teacher and you do 10% of my assignment, you get an F. And if you do 90% of the assignment, maybe you get an A or a B. And so, I mean, like I said, I don't own Google. All I can do is try to diagnose what they put into their algorithm and share that with you and give you some work to do. But the point is, every property manager has well over 2,500 words of content
in their
that
head.
They can put on their landing. Absolutely. And that's correct.
They just got to put it out there.
And we talked yesterday, every conversation you have with an owner could be a piece of content.
Yeah.
Every single one could be a blog post. But as far as like your pitch, tons of words, everything you do, full pricing, full disclosure, here's our management agreement. And, you know, a lot of people, the concern there is that that's going to reduce the amount of phone calls that they get. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, for our website product, we have our pricing clear as day on our website. Mm-hmm. If you've seen that and you don't call me, either we didn't impress you with our site or we're too expensive. Okay. So if we're too expensive, then I don't want you to call me because we're not going to do it for half price.
I think it's reflective of a larger mindset in society now. They want to know what they're getting into up front. And we've taken that model and put it onto the site as much as we can. The upfront pricing, the three-tier, they look at it. I'm going to go two ways there. It's the old VRBO, Airbnb thing. They want to be able to go straight into something and rent without having to talk to somebody to negotiate for it.
Sure.
You also see car dealerships. They also give you a best price upfront type pricing model system now where there is no haggling. The it depends pricing model is starting to fade away, especially from the consumer's eyes looking at us. So I think full disclosure is the way to go on your website as much as you can. Now back to the three-tier pricing was, you know, we were talking about the first, the good, better, best pricing concept. This has been around forever and ever and ever. And of course you have the percentage-based good, better, best pricing. Well, we do the flat fee, good, better, best pricing, the three-tier pricing, the flat fee. And so what we're getting is the upper end of the market is going for our upper end plan and paying it all day long, mm-hmm. because we make it very competitive to the market as a whole, what's the market's gonna bear in a percentage-based system. That's how we've been able to grow that so much, is having that flat fee three-tier pricing, which I firmly believe in, which is why I'm talking about it.
Even though your competitors might use it against you, and that's fine.
The competitors may, yeah, but I think that's fine because there's enough business to go around enough as it is.
And
but other markets, you know, they should look at that and
I
look
think
at
it is
site.
Universal mm-hmm. that consumers in every industry, and let's just look at ours, investors appreciate, here's what I'm going to charge you and here's what you're going to get for it, instead of them having to call and ask you that. And if that kind of takes us into the next section that we wanted to talk about today, which is like choosing owners. Do you really want the guy? Do you really, maybe if you're brand new starting off and you're willing to take any piece of business, mm-hmm. but do you really want the guy whose only criteria is price?
Absolutely not.
And we see it in our business. And, you know, I know you've seen it in your business because I used to do it too. Mm-hmm. The person that's concerned with only price is going to be the guy who's blowing up your phone every time you fix something. It's going to be blowing up your phone every time his statement's a day late. It's going to be blowing up your phone every time you haven't rented his property in 2 days. He is going to be the guy or gal that makes that makes property management not fun.
Yeah, and this ties right into pricing. It totally does. I'm going to show you how, because the type of owner you want should be reflective of the type of pricing you build. So I think we've done it in a three-tiered pricing because that big plan is a flat fee and we're going after that top end market. We're going after the top end owner, you know, the 2000 on up type of a property management company or property manager owner. That's one thing. And the other thing is we want investors. So the thing we haven't even talked about yet that again goes into pricing and it's kind of something we, you know, really touched on, but we offered a multiple property owner program on our website in full disclosure.
Okay.
Because we're looking at it like, who do we want? We want investors. We want the investor that has four or more units to come work with us because they're less emotional. They're all about the numbers and they understand this is a business. The people that own four or more properties. So we developed a multiple property owner plan that's on our website. It's full disclosure. It tells people what we charge. It tells people what we do. There's a bunch of incentives in there for the owners that they can see it and understand it. And that's been making our phones ring for that MPO plan. And it wasn't that hard to devise.
Right.
You know, you just change a couple things.
And you just landed a 20 unit customer, right?
We landed a 20 unit customer earlier this week.
Okay.
So things work out when you put it out there. And we would never have gotten in front of that particular customer if we had taken the it depends pricing model. Because he's going to shop from 10 different other companies. And someone out there may lowball. But if you can get in front of that person and be one of the first ones and provide them a good estimate up front before they have to go out and shop,
right,
they're going to appreciate that and give you an opportunity to work with them. It also, the other fun part of this, the multiple property owner agreement is great for those owners that have two or three properties and say, look, here's an idea for you. We want you to go out and buy another investment property. We're going to turn you over from X plan to the multiple property owner plan. You just got to go buy one more home.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand that because we offer a lot of incentives. It's a flat fee. They can plug it right into their cash flow analysis when they start looking at that to say, okay, my management fees are X. That's a fixed cost now versus a variable cost.
Right.
And it motivates them to go out and buy a potential fourth or more property to get into that multiple property owner plan.
Probably get that commission when you sell it. And
yeah, potentially. If you have a sales department, you can get it. We have a sales department here, so we can be the one that can sell the home, or we can be the one, sell them the home, excuse me, or we can be the one to sell them the homes later on when they're done with them. We've always tried to do the package deals inside of there. That's another golden nugget potentially to go out there. Instead of letting your sellers sell, they make wind that they want to sell. Try to take that property before it hits the open market and get it to an investor.
Or maybe even get it to one of your other people in-house. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I think that's an opportunity that a lot of property managers miss out on. They let a lot of sales walk out the door. And you know, some people don't do sales because they want to have referral business from other realtors. And that's certainly one way to do it. But if you do sales, there has to be some kind of proactive plan.
And we're guilty of that too, because the owner's coming at you saying, we just want to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you say, hold off for a few days, let me look at your numbers. Okay, you want X and then we need to get X for your rent.
Mm-hmm.
So how about we do this? The commissions that we're going to normally charge you will be reduced by contractual agreement anyway, because we don't have to involve a buyer going on the open market. So it's a win for the owner. We sell it for less.
Right.
We take that package investment with a tenant already in place with an X dollar amount in rent, a fixed cost. Because one of the things investors don't like is, well, we think it's going to go for $1,500.
Right.
We think it's going to go. And here are the comparables to show it. But isn't it nice to show them a lease agreement and a tenant ledger that says, yes, we've been getting in $1,500 for 6 months. Here's a lease agreement that goes for another 6 months. This is a package investment. So you get your fixed rent, you get your fixed cost. An investor can come in and buy that particular property and you manage it.
Yep.
You manage it. That's the point. When they sell on the open market, the management agreement is gone.
Yep.
I mean, 9 out of 10 times. Maybe they'll come back to you, but you know, 9 out of 10 times
you're going to self-manage. It's going to be owner occupied or there's just too many.
Yeah, there's too many variables.
You're going to lose it probably more than 9 out of 10.
But. Yeah, at least.
So one other thing we talked about is back to the choosing owners part. Before you sign, you know, we talked about some maintenance issues.
Yeah,
this you know, morning, like approvals and one of the biggest things that I've seen property managers deal with, and I saw it with my own parents and their company, is who's in charge? Is it you or is it the owner?
Let's take a quick break for 10 seconds here, Dave. We'll touch right back on that. Today's show has been sponsored by Virtually Incredible, providing tenant screening services, call center services, and video production services to property managers. You may also visit them at virtuallyincredible.com. And we're back. So thanks, Dave. We were talking about the maintenance stuff a little bit ago.
I call it owner training.
Owner training, yes.
And it really is the difference between having, you know, property management dealing with tough owners and tenants sucks.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the backstory here for the audience. So our director of maintenance, her name is Karen, and she had must have gone 8 or 10 issues this last weekend with air conditioning calls. You know, it's the middle of June. It is 100 degrees this last weekend. Of course, all the air conditioning calls were going out. And it's never something that we can automate. Even though we use a third-party vendor to help with the 24/7 calls, someone physically still has to make a call to an owner to say, you have a busted air conditioning. It's going to be $800 to fix it. And an owner has to bless off on that.
Right.
So, but it's a good opportunity to talk about us training the owners.
Right. And you know, I know there's certain, everyone has different criteria.
Of course.
But, you know, the most successful property managers that I've seen, you know, they do a lot of things, but one of them is that they're in charge of their owners and their owners trust them. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, then please send them somewhere else. Because if, I mean, did you, in any capacity in your life, do you ever want to work with someone you don't trust?
No.
And if your owner doesn't trust you because they've been burned by another company or they're cheap or they don't really care about maintaining a nice property, you know, that's, to me, I would just say, hey, we're not a good fit. Mm-hmm. But I think going into any kind of negotiation when they're going to hire you, I think if the better job you do of laying out what operational requirements you have, and that's a perfect one, is like cost criteria on maintenance. Hey, mm-hmm. if it's over X amount of dollars, we're going to make an attempt to contact you and you have X amount of time to get back to us, or we're going to make the call ourselves. And if you're not okay with that, here's my least favorite competitor across town. Give him a call and go work with him. And if it's a life-saving or an emergency type situation, we're going to make the call anyway. We're not even going to contact you. If it's 110 degrees and the air conditioner is not working, we're fixing it. It doesn't matter how much it costs, because we're not going to open ourselves up to the liability, ourselves and you, up to the liability that exists with that.
Yeah. We try to instill the confidence in the owners to get that type of response from the very beginning. It's not always as easy. And I got to tell you this little side story. Karen was telling me that it was a rough weekend. She had a lot of phone calls to deal with, and that's not what we want. Number one, we don't want to burn her out. But number two, she told an owner this exact quote, and I thought it was very poignant. And she said, your owner is super ticked. She said that. She said, I'm sorry, I screwed it up. She said, your tenant is super ticked off right now, Mr. Owner. And the owner's like, well, I guess you're right. The tenant would be super ticked off right now if it's 23 June and 98 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
Inside. And exactly. And it changed the owner's mindset. Like, yeah, if I was there, I would hate life too. Let's go ahead and fix it. Don't even worry about a second quote, because it'll take 3 days to get somebody there for a second quote in the summer.
And again, I think that the whole second and third quote stuff, say, look, we have an HVAC contractor that we do tons of work with, and they're going to give us the best price. And I don't have time to get three quotes for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
And if that's what you require out of me, then I don't need your business. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, especially if you're just getting started out and it's hard to turn down accounts. Mm-hmm. In every single business, that 80-20 rule applies. And the 20% of your customers that are the most vocal account for 80% of your time.
Yeah, when signing on an owner, that's one of the conversations you're definitely going to want to have, is let's talk about how we communicate, because owners may want to communicate with you via phone, via email, via text, via smoke signal, whatever. They're going to tell you how they like to communicate. And that's a good question to ask them.
Yeah.
How do you like to communicate with us, Mr. Owner?
Right.
Well, I really just go ahead and text me, or never call me, or email me, or whatever.
Yeah.
But then that's your opportunity to turn around and say, okay, look, we're not going to text, call, email you for an emergency under $500.
Right.
If it's going to be an X amount for an air conditioning repair in June and the contractor is in the driveway asking for permission for a $400 fix, we're going to get it fixed right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if he says it's going to be a $4,000 fix, we'll come back to you and we'll talk and maybe we'll figure out another plan, but we're never going to approve something that's over the top. And then we start talking, say, health and safety issues in that regard. And that stuff's got to be approved.
And again, it just boils down to, do you trust me or not?
Correct.
And if you trust me, we're going to have a great partnership.
Now, you guys have the same kind of stuff.
We have the exact same thing. I mean, when we have a customer calling us and they're asking certain questions that we have that are flagged as someone that we may not want to work with. Mm-hmm. Someone that, and you know, we love delivering an excellent level of service to our customers, but there are limits to that. I mean, we charge $129 a month for maintenance and support and everything you could pretty much ask for on a website. Mm-hmm. But some people want us to be like their in-house developer.
Yeah.
And for $129 a month, and we can't do that.
Yeah.
So we're going to kindly tell that person that we're just not a good fit, and we're going to send them off to our biggest competitor and have them build their site.
You know, but one of the things we didn't talk about yesterday, and we should have, is I want you to talk more about the rent screener stuff.
Okay.
You know, can you take a few minutes and kind of go over that?
Yeah, sure. We have a screening product, a tenant screening product called Rent Screener. And, you know, I think it does. You know, one of the challenges is it's not integrated into a property management software. So
I'll tell the people up front. So what?
The kickback there is that, you know, hey, if I have a software provider, I won't mention any names. We all know who they are. It, you know, once I approve someone, it automatically I can automatically convert them to a tenant. Well, and that probably takes what, a minute or two. So, and the challenge, I mean, but we can save you 15, 20, 30 minutes before that process. And I think that most of those softwares, you can't even communicate with the tenant through the system until they become a tenant.
That's a big,
so ask. When they're, yeah, in the prospect, that. When they're in the application funnel, you're not going to go convert them into a tenant just so you can communicate with them through your software. Mm-hmm. You have to communicate with them through your email. You know, with the Rent Screener system, you can fully communicate everything. You can status everything. It's, you know, all the screening is all integrated. And basically the whole idea is there is that anyone in the office can see the status of any application at any time.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to move to your system.
Well, I appreciate
now,
that.
I'll tell the crew out there, listeners now, is that, you know, we've seen what you have. And the one thing that really, really impressed me was the fact we could communicate to the tenant inside of your software. Because right now we have application coming outside the software and all the communication going to them via Outlook,
right,
via email.
Well, and the biggest communication tool that I think you probably liked the best was the online status checker.
Loved it.
Where they get a, you know, every applicant gets an application number. They can go to the website, type in their application number, they can see the status of their application, mm-hmm, which, as you mentioned, was probably at least half of your phone calls from prospective tenants.
And we had a closed mind to this. I mean, I've heard about the Rent Screener product for a year or two. I don't know, however long you've had it out, even longer.
But of course, 3 years now.
Yeah, about 3 years. So I had a closed mind, just like what you mentioned. Well, we're using X software and it's already integrated into the software, so why bother? The cost is pretty much near the same. Mm-hmm. So for us, I don't see any issues with it. I think with the people that
I mean, again, if we can't save you 1 or 2 minutes,
that's where I'm going.
That it takes to enter your tenant information, then don't use it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you're going to save 15, 20 minutes per application just from the status checker, the in-app communication, you know, the merging of, you know, if you have multiple applicants for the same property.
Yeah,
you can merge those together.
Super cool.
You know, a lot of, and I, you know, I think some of them do it, some of them don't. But you know, if we can save you 15 or 20 minutes per application, mm-hmm, then it's worth having somebody enter it manually into your accounting system.
Yeah.
For a minute or two.
And talk about the TransUnion score you're getting.
Okay, well, really, you know, our partner is TransUnion, and you know, a lot of people partner with someone because it's the first call they made or it's the easiest. But you know, TransUnion has made a commitment to the tenant screening industry. I mean, their score, it's based on a FICO score, similar to Experian or anyone else, mm-hmm, but it's an actual resident score. So it predicts the probability of a tenant paying their rent.
Whereas based on a couple factors.
It's based on 15 million records of actual tenants in software systems that have successfully or unsuccessfully paid rent. So no like system or person that's had experience with screening can replicate 15 million files. Mm-hmm. You know, even if your most experienced screener has done 1,000 of them, that's nowhere near the level. So, I mean, they have dialed it down to a probability that someone will pay the rent, and you can use that in building your tenant screening policy. Mm-hmm. You can use it as a perfectly good non-racial or familial status or any kind of criteria that's illegal to say, hey, your score is this, and therefore your probability of paying rent is good or bad, or and you can use that as justification to adjust your, you know, increases in security deposit or taking some additional rent up front. Any of the reasons that you might use for, you know, declining or declining at the best rate a tenant. And it's out of your hands.
Let's talk about, too, the disparate impact issue.
Yeah, they also have a criminal select that they will select for you. You know, you can give them your criteria and they will select the applicants for you on the criminal status, which eliminates your company involvement in the disparate impact cases. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you know, last year they passed, you know, they passed a law that you cannot just use ironclad criteria on criminal if it negatively impacts a group of people, minorities or races or whatever, disparately.
Yeah.
So if there's a minority out there that has a higher percentage of felony occurrence and you decline them for felonies, you can still be sued for that. So having a third party make that decision for you eliminates that from you guys having to have any liability for that.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, we saw just a quick demo yesterday and it's definitely something we're going to implement right away here. Pretty excited about that. So let's talk about, you know, we also had a conversation before the show about the trending industry happenings and stuff that's coming up that's going to really be impressive. So, for example, I'll start this off with, you know, one of the things we're doing now is we're pushing into a unaccompanied vacant home showing situation. And this is nothing new, but we've, you know, we've taken a little bit of time to make sure we can do that because this is a very co-brokering market that's very familiar. Everybody co-brokers here. We had a harder time. And then we also had to train our owners to get off of that 30-day window where they want to advertise the home. The last 30 days, the tenant is in the home, but you're showing a home with a tenant in the home, and it never shows well.
They're not super cooperative about it. I mean, if you've ever been in that situation, it's no fun to have people traipsing through your house, especially when you're trying to move. Got to have it clean.
There's a lot of reasons that we're doing that. So that's one of the trending things we want to talk about. Do you have any others that you want to throw out?
Let's get back to that for a second. Cause it's my belief that, like I've already mentioned a couple of times, property managers lose money when they leave the office. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now those functions have to happen. There's boots on the ground stuff that you have to do in order to run a successful business. And, you know, we talk about getting leads and converting them into clients. And, you know, ultimately the thing that we don't talk a ton about is running a solid business. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to run an excellent business if you want to keep those people and to have them, referrals are still better than a blind lead coming in, you know? Yeah. So if you're running so you got to run a great business. In order to do that, you have to do all of those functions that require somebody to leave the office. You mentioned your 1 minute inspection that takes an hour to conduct.
Yeah.
That's awful.
With the drive time.
I mean, I think that in order, and I've been in this industry, you know, it was my family business, but I've been in it on the tech side for about 15 years. And when we first started, there was a small handful of companies that were able to successfully manage like over 1,000 units. Mm-hmm. And because they had a lot of the stuff that they do now, was done that we do with technology now was done manually. So now you have dozens of companies that are in that range and you have a lot of multi-office companies that we really never saw before.
Yeah.
And you're seeing more and more of those, you know, seeing some franchise companies out there with more than 100 offices and you're seeing some regional players that have 15, 20 offices. And that was never possible before without some of this technology. So I think that the showing is one of the biggest time sucks for a property manager at all.
Time, I mean, if, gas,
everything. And if you're a company that is still relying on a physical presence in showings, you know, just talking about where I live, you know, Denver area, you jump into traffic and you have to go 10 or 15 miles to do a showing. You've just committed yourself to potentially 1, 2, 3 hours of time. Whereas if the tenant can self-service that, and if they can go there and take care of that themselves without your assistance, then you've just saved someone in your office 3 hours of commute time. And let's face it, you know, tenants don't really need your property manager there. The only risk is that maybe you get the wrong person in there and they steal stuff or do damage or whatever. And I think that with a lot of the technology, they're collecting credit card info. Yeah, they got the driver's license info. They have that person pretty well identified.
They do.
And guess what? If one out of 1,000 showings results in some kind of theft, it's better to compensate the owner for that than it is to spend the 3,000 hours that you would have spent on the other 1,000 showings paying that person to be out of the office and do stuff.
The rate of incidents is super low in that. And I've talked to veterans who've been doing this type of technique for 15 years. And, you know, they've never had stuff go missing. And if they did, they would just write the check.
Yeah, sure. If someone steals a refrigerator and it costs $600 or $700, so what?
Yeah.
You saved, you know, it's going to happen. There are bad people on the, and some things are going to happen. It's like an eviction.
Yeah.
You know, how often does an eviction really happen if you do a good job of screening? It's correct. Not very often.
It's not very often.
You know, and if you're not screening people, it's going to happen all the time.
Yeah.
But if you do a great job of screening people and have good criteria, you're not going to have evictions. Yeah, stuff happens. You know, if you put 1,000 people in there, somebody's going to lose a job, get divorced, file bankruptcy, and have to be evicted. It happens. But if you do a good job of screening, you can avoid most of that. It's the exact same thing with showings. Mm-hmm. You know, 999 out of 1,000 showings are going to go perfectly smoothly.
Yeah.
And there will be a problem with one of them, but the cost savings that you get from those other 999 far out, they could destroy the entire house and you'd probably still be ahead. Yeah. So, and then, you know, if they do that, then you have insurance, you know? So
last thing we want to talk about is, we had talked about, promo codes and how people can reach you and how that's going to work for you.
Okay. Well, the easiest way to get hold of us is, PropertyManagerWebsites.com.
Okay.
My personal email is Dave@KOHVA.com. Like I said, it was just an available 5-letter domain name. Kova. There's no secret.
Did you name your dog Kova?
No.
You should have.
It's Archie. There's no secret behind that term. So Dave@KOVA.com, if you have any questions or if you want to talk to us about any of our products, any of that stuff, we'd certainly appreciate that. And if you mention this podcast, which just mentioned Brad's name, Brad Larson, you know, we'll give you 10% off of anything that you do. If you want to buy a website, we'll give you 10% off of that. You want to buy an advanced marketing platform, we'll do that. 10% off anything, just mention Brad.
I've been very impressed because we've already implemented the advanced marketing program. That's been 3 months now?
This is our second month.
Second month, yeah. Yep. And that's been tremendous. Very excited about that. And then, of course, the other thing we're going to be bringing on is that rent screener. I'm really excited about that. So those are a couple of features that, you know, are built into your websites that add a lot of intrinsic value to what you're doing. I can't stress enough what a great solution you've been providing. So I'm hoping everybody out there listens to this, what we've talked about these last couple of podcasts, and understand that's a very good turnkey solution that they can put into. And they develop the content and you guys help put it out there to where it's formattable to the world to understand.
Yeah, we've got, you know, to brag a little bit on we have a great team, and we have, you know, you generally, when we hire someone, they're great. They stick around. And, you know, our customers are used to dealing with the same people over and over and over again, which is pretty rare today. And excellent level of support is pretty rare today as well. And I think that we do a really good job of that. You know, if you're considering using a site, go do a search in your market. And the odds are you're going to find one of our customers, which means that investors are finding them and hiring them instead of you if you're not there.
Yeah.
So, it's really important to us to add value in everything that we do. We don't just put products out there and ask you to pay money for it unless it adds value. You know, the advanced marketing platform, we heavily tested it with a few people first, you know, because I tell my people when I go to a trade show, I want customers to love me. I'm not going to have difficult conversations. I don't want to explain why our products suck. I want hugs and kisses and you're the man's. And that's what I get when I go to the trade shows. And all of our products need to do that. And if they don't, we don't put them out.
That's awesome. So, great stuff. Thanks again for coming on. It's been a great couple episodes. You've been a great guest.
Well, hopefully it wasn't terribly boring.
No.
Nope. We got double faces for radio. So,
as they say in the world, we'll see you around campus. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Today's show is sponsored by the National Property Management Network, providing insurance products and services to property managers such as tenant liability insurance. Visit them at nationalpropertymanagement.com.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.